Oh, baby, yes, indeed. It is time. Jake, it's postseason time. The best part of the season is the postseason. We've made it. Blue Jays
We did it.
did it. We made it all the way through. We didn't touch and go at some points, some highs and some lows, but ultimately 162 games played, 89 games won, and your Toronto Blue Jays are wild card three. I have been, we're gonna obviously a lot to get to here. We know the matchup. They're playing the Minnesota Twins in Minnesota in the best of three starting Tuesday at 4:30 Eastern time. That is very exciting. I thought, we'll obviously talk a lot about the Twins. I did a bit of research, not to brag, wrote some numbers down on a piece of paper. That's how much I went. I broke a pen out. That's how serious it is when you get to the postseason. I took a pen
Wow.
out, pen to paper.
Actual research and notes.
Truth be told, was writing down notes for a video game I was playing, and I was like, well, I may as well. I was like, oh, this actually does help, but keep organized.
You
Doing
playing
some
Football Manager? What's the
Recruiting. Anyway, we'll get to it. We'll get to the twin stuff, but first, did want to sort of take a look at this Blue Jays team. We've talked, as I said, there's been highs and lows. We've talked very glowingly. We've talked very lowingly. This is just the last two episodes about this group. Now have 162 games of sample size. We now have complete numbers. We know exactly how their seasons have gone. They've won 89 games, as I said, wild card three. And before I throw to you, Jake, I will sort of summarize how I feel about this team and how I can, me, I like to paint metaphor. People like to give you, here's the big data point that helps. Here's the big storyline that helps. You know me, Jake, I'm a metaphor guy. If I
You
can.
love you do love your metaphors and hate your similes. It's
That's so
true.
true. That's so true. That is exactly what I'm like as. That's stupid. That's stupid. My metaphor is what I come away with looking at the whole season and where they ended up and ending up now, where they are with the opponent they have. To me, the Blue Jays are the team that spent this whole year knowing exactly what grade they needed in the class to get on the honor roll. You know what I mean? Where they were like, all right, this test I have to do really well on, and this they knew they could get an exactly 80 average in their schooling if they did exactly enough work. And they did legitimately exactly enough to make the playoffs. And they end up, in my opinion, with the best mark in the class, right? They get the team with the least amount of wins that made the playoff of the American League as their opponent. They get a team that has won lost, pardon me, 18 straight playoff games.
I hate this
You get a
so
team
much.
that is, frankly, I mean, Carlos Correa is coming back from an injury, hasn't played in 10 days. Royce Lewis, their best power hitter, don't know if he's really going to play, dealing with a hamstring issue. That can be hard, as we've seen a million times. You're feeling good one morning, and then you're rounding first base, and that's done. And there's another one, but they're limping in terms of a lineup. They played very well in September, but everything has somehow come around, and this team that couldn't get out of its own way sometimes, or just couldn't realize the potential, is now sitting as well as you could possibly want to sit, heading into the playoffs. How does that make you feel?
Oh, like three or four different ways. I think obviously, like despite all cynicism, despite how they may have got there, thrilled that they actually made the playoffs.
They have
Like,
a great chance, I feel.
yeah, I think, if you, I hate using the term, but yeah, on paper, there's no reason why. I think my thing with this Blue Jays team and this playoff race, let's call it, is, and maybe this is too early in the show to get into predictions, but my thing with this Jays team is like, I feel like in years past, we kind of had ideas as to what to expect. Like last year, I don't know if anyone expected them to win the World Series, certainly, but outside of what happened, it did sort of feel going in like all of the problems of the season are likely to sort of catch up with them, which is exactly what happened. And then obviously 15, 16, you kind of expected, maybe not 16 so much, but like you expected World Series or bust. And this year, like nothing could surprise me, I think. The method of how it happens could obviously surprise me. Like, you know, blowing an 8-1 lead, like that would be surprising. But I keep thinking about, I find that before every one of my teams starts a playoff run, you kind of think of like what you can see happening for them. And like with this Jays team, it's everything from getting absolutely embarrassed and dominated in two games by the Twins to winning the whole thing. Like they're very, and I think it's because of exactly what you said, that like they have a real chance on paper. They have everything you need to be an extremely annoying playoff team. They have great pitching that can keep you in games. Lord knows we've seen them all year keep this team in games far longer than they arguably should. And even though they have a bunch of underachievers on the offensive end, there's still guys who, at a moment's notice, if they allow themselves to, seemingly, can make a difference. So, yeah, I think they're in a good spot on paper. And from that, and as you said, playing a team with less wins than them in the wild card series, you know, outside of numerical or empirical data, I hate the fact that they're playing the Twins from a curse standpoint. Like, wouldn't it be so 2023 Blue Jays to be the team that Minnesota breaks their curse of 18 straight playoff losses against?
But wouldn't it be so Minnesota to just keep losing?
Also true. Very true. You know, having Houston as the DS matchup, even though they couldn't play Baltimore at all this year, still would have preferred that, I think, in a playoff matchup to the Astros, who just always fucking get it done. But they're in. And after such a seemingly endless regular season, and all of the ups and downs and downs and downs of the season, like, I'm just happy they made it.
Yeah.
And like, you know what? I think it's very easy to, and fun, and we've done it for basically six straight months, to sort of dunk on this team and call out their imperfections and how they've been built and how they've been put together and how they are on the field and everything. Just go into our back catalog. The entire season has been that. But like at the end of the day, yes, going into the season, the goal was probably more, the goal and the expectation is probably more challenging for the East crown than literally the last playoff spot coming down to the second last day. But they made it. So all of the nice thing is, at least for two or three games, for me anyway, I'm sure this won't be the case pretty quickly, but for me, for now, it's nice to sort of be able to put all of the garbage of the last 6 months away, because now it truly doesn't matter at all. So yeah, I'm just glad they made it, frankly.
You bet. You made an excellent turn of phrase early on in that explanation you had there that gleamed into my head something nice. I love when that happens. You mentioned that last year there was a feeling that the issues that we knew were there were going to catch up with them. And I think that is correct. I think last year when it all started unraveling, you had that moment of like, wow, the reckoning is finally happening. And what makes me feel warm in the middle of my brain this time around is I get the vibe that they are entering this with I get the opposite feeling where like, this year, it feels like they're going into this and the weakness that has been that has sort of held them back is the they're getting by with the defense last year. It's like the fact that it's just that they aren't getting timely hitting, right? That's literally the only thing. Everything else, there's basically no complaints. And frankly, we are now in a situation where it's chaos and where it's small game sample sizes and it's not fair and it's not a big litmus test of who does. Every team that is left, every game that is left, is going to be depending on timely hitting to win their series. That's it. The Braves are going to have to get timely hitting. The Dodgers are going to have to get timely hitting. The Astros, they're going to have to get timely hitting. That's even. That is now even. Every team in the entire postseason needs timely hitting. And what has, I'll tell you, the last month, obviously we hit very low with Texas, and we were here on there and we were very honest, and I'm glad we did it. But what has really made since then to me feel very positive to me is, and especially the last month and a half, is Kevin Biggio, Alejandro Kirk, there was David Snyder doesn't really count now, but Matt Chapman has had some like important walk-off hits when they really needed them, even when he has struggled the rest of the at-bats. They're getting the things that you need in the playoffs, where it's like, it's not, you don't have your A game and it's Vladdy and Bo are striking out and it's not one of their games. They've been getting the contributions from those guys who have been cold for big parts of the year. Dalton Varsho is another one, has had like a two or three very big hits down the stretch. And you're like, if you have those guys, if you have 7, 8, 9 making things happen, it becomes a lot easier. One big swing from your top half of the order ends up really breaking the game open. And if they break a game open, they have all the weapons in the world to make sure it gets sewn up. And we see that so often in the playoffs. It's just the mix just makes sense to me. When you talk about how, when you go into playoff series, you visualize what happens, that logic and mix, it just makes sense to me that it could work. Yeah, I agree. I would have probably also wanted to play Baltimore over Houston. They just have that, like, Houston just gets it done, and, you know, they're grinding to a pulp. But yeah, I feel optimistic for that reason. It's like their thing that they need to have happen is sort of the same thing everybody needs to have happen. And you can feel pretty confident that the other stuff, the unbelievable unfair bounce that happens in the outfield, and you're like, it's just not good fielding, right? The extra bases that get picked up because a guy, Manuel Margot, how many times did we see in the last 2 weeks? You're just like, wow, those games are broken because when it's a little bit out of hand, Manuel Margot makes the terrible play and it gets a lot out of hand. You know, we will talk about the games they played against the Twins this year. It's a bunch of like not great starts that they end up winning low scoring games. And it's like the defense holds them in these games and the pitching does enough to get them where they need to get, that the bullpen can just keep it reasonable. And that's basically all their wins against the Twins this year. So I just feel good. You know, to close off your other point about what the season was supposed to be about, like, yeah, I've been pretty vocal. I thought this season, basically no excuse to not have this season be about an AL East chase, right? That was sort of my... I beat that drum the whole year when people were like, oh, they're going to win 90 games and get in the playoffs. What do you want? And I was like, 5 more wins than that, right? I want 95 wins. And I don't think it's selfish at this stage of the game with this stage of the team that they have to be like, they should win 95 games. They won 91 games 2 playoffs ago, right? And didn't get in 2021. They won 91 games and didn't get in. I'm of the opinion that you can't be relying on years like this where 89 gets you in to get you this incredible thing that has fallen in front of you. I still think that's a valid criticism, but to your point, I'm thrilled that that's gone now, right? That's over. I don't have to think about that ever again, and I will never be upset about that again because the season is over. This is sort of the opposite of 2021, where you think about the regular season all the time because you didn't get to see it. I'm thrilled to never think about the 2023 regular season again. And it's perfect. This is the exact opposite of 2021, where it's like I thought they were going to win the World Series and they didn't get in. With more wins, and this year nobody thought they were going to win big games, and they did get in. That they win the whole thing. I think they're going to win the American League. I guess is how I close this out. No, we'll get to bigger predictions later. But I like them against the Twins, and we will talk about why, and how the Twins match up, and your fears, and all that in a minute here, Jake. Anything else on the 2023 Blue Jays? Sort of. you know, who they are and how that feels for you. I know you said a lot a minute ago, but how do you sort of, what are your sort of closing look back fond thoughts of,
I mean,
this 2023 team?
I think that the 2023 team will be remembered for what they, at least the regular season, will be remembered for what they didn't do more than what they did. Whether you want to talk about the deadline, whether you want to talk about how they handled the Anthony Bass situation, or the ticket prices, the renovations, the game ops, in-game noise. Like they're just game ups, in-game noise, if you want to go with a metaphor, actually seems kind of appropriate. There was so much noise this season. And Manoah, like, it feels like there was so much off the field this season that maybe that was amplified so much because the on-the-field product was so poor for so much of it, despite the fact they won 89 games and made the playoffs. And I saw I had, like, the fifth hardest schedule in the league this year. Right. That I think it's – I'm hopeful that they – even if they don't win the World Series, I hope that they go on at least a decent run, because like you said, then we never have to think about this regular season ever again. That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great. And as to like my thoughts on this team, yeah, you said it. We know who they are. There is nothing new to learn about this team, and there's been nothing new to learn about this team for months now. They have elite top of the line starting pitching. And of, I don't know if I can say elite after the last month, but a very, very good back end of the bullpen. And as it has in April, as it did in July, as it did a week ago, if Springer, Bo, and Vlad are good, the team can beat anybody. And unfortunately, it's really that simple. If the good hitters don't show up, they're going to lose. And if they show up, they're probably going to win. And that's not the worst place to be in Major League Baseball playoffs, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a nightmare, but, you know, I would much prefer that. As again, these are probably words I'll eat very quickly, but
of course,
I would much prefer that scenario to, oh my God, how are we going to stay in games past like the fourth with our pitching?
Right. Absolutely.
And you know, I think what bothers me the most is like, I'm not pessimistic about the playoff run at all, but I'm also not optimistic at all. I truly have no idea what team we're going to see on the field tomorrow. And that's
yeah,
kind of fun and kind of not, but I think not that like a best of three series is illustrative of a playoff run in any way, but I kind of think for this team, it might be. If they show up just, I mean, we saw it last year, right? They showed up in game one against Seattle, totally flat and didn't score. And then everything went less said about game two, the better, but you were just like, oh, there it is. Okay. And I kind of feel like that tomorrow's going to be the same. We're going to see them and we're going to come out of tomorrow's game either feeling like they can beat anybody in the world or like we're not watching baseball on Friday. And
yeah,
we'll see, I guess.
It's time for the annual only we are the ones that could possibly try to make you this sad in the middle of an episode.
Okay, fine. I'll end this on a more, I don't know.
Hold on. I got to get it out. I got to just say the words because there was nobody, nobody else last year. It was, okay, we know game one. And then do you try to close it out in game two with your number two guy? Or
right, there was the Ross Stripling discussion.
Right, you remember that? It was like, oh, after the Manoah win, what do we do in game two? And I'm just going to say this. Prepare yourself mentally that the season could end Wednesday night. Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Season could be over October 4th. Could be it. And you've got two more games with these guys. And here's the scenario. Number one is that Kevin Gausman continues to struggle against the Minnesota Twins in terms of walks. They seem to have something on him. He 9 walks in 2 games, Kevin Gausman. Very uncharacteristic. Didn't give up a lot of runs, but they have great defense. You have to keep that in mind. And then you're counting on Jose Berríos in Minnesota, and something has to give there, right? Either Jose Berríos is the one who helps Minnesota break this big curse of never winning, or Jose Berríos is the one that puts the 20th on them. Just keep in mind, it's possible. Anyway, you were going to say.
I was going to say, not necessarily upbeat, but let's give the team some credit. And this has nothing to do with anything we've been talking about, but I don't know where else to put it in the show. Lot of criticism last couple days about the amount of celebration.
Such a stupid thing.
For the way they got in. I will say this. I understand the impulse to make that comment, but like making the playoffs in the AL East is not easy.
It's got to be a Leafs preseason game you could be tweeting about instead of that, right? Right. Raptors media day. Somebody somewhere said the Raptors weren't going to trade for a guy. You should spend your day doing that instead of talking about baseball.
Like
that's that time of year for me. It's that time of year for me where
totally.
The hobbyists, the casuals. Sorry, I used to hate that as a term. I used to hate casuals. I was like, what's the problem with being a casual fan? And now it's playoff time, and now my heart is on the line, and I get to see people who are like, oh, this team is absolutely killing me. Like, oh, by the way, also, my Bills are playing and the Raptors are playing, and this is it for me. Jays fucked this up. My year is over. It's over. It's October, and I snap my fingers, and it's January. That's what's about to happen. I want everybody to know. This is pet peeve time for me. Blue Jays team absolutely killing me. Anyway, here's the Leafs lines. Here's the fucking preseason game. We're not processing this the same. We're not handling this the same. Here's all Raptors media day. It's blocked out. I'm barely conscious, and I want nothing more. And I think you made this point, and I agree fully. It would just be really nice for this team to make a run, and to get to like remember them fondly, even, right? You talked about not remembering the year and like not wanting to think about the regular season. Wouldn't it be nice if they beat Minnesota and look pretty good, and if they can beat Houston or like take Houston to seven, even, I think you get a little bit of like, well, this team showed us some guts and showed us some heart and had a lot of good players on it and like really appreciate it and give us some moments. That would be nice. I think they do deserve that, because as hard as we were on them, and I think as hard as a lot of people were on them, I mean, listen, there was a reason we were hard on them. It was fucking agonizing to watch them leave runners on base for 2 months in a row in the middle of the summer. It just was. It was insane the ways that they lost games this year. It was like people would be like, ah, but they're still this and that. It's like, are you watching the games? Like, what is your point here? That the games are fun and good? Because they're not. Like, I don't know what the point of being like, that's a long season. It's like, yeah, but tonight is happening in front of me. And what do you want me to live? I only have today. Ultimately, you know, some really good things on this team, and some things that you know, we will, I think more than anything, this is the kind of team that you will note not having some of this stuff once you don't have it anymore, right? I think of something like Kevin Kiermaier. I think of something like even Matt Chapman, who's been very, very frustrating. I think there's that like the outfield has been so good that a lot of the times what they're so good at is making it look like the play wasn't that impressive, right? Where it's just like, nice running catch. And you're like, God damn. Nice running catch, because the dude was full speed the moment the ball was off the bat. There's been a lot of that this year where I think you sort of like, you know, we talk about the pitching. Every one of these pitchers has gone from like a guy you'd have in the middle of the rotation, frankly, to like top 10 ERA guys, leading the league in strikeout. Like they just have done a really good job of acquiring that. And the team is built to play a certain way. And what I like about them, frankly, and it's going to sound so stupid because I had the issues. This is kind of a team that can win more than one way. Is sort of the way when I look back at it, it's like, man, they can win the close game. They've proven it. It was agonizing all year long, but 3-1 is not a foreign thing to this team. I think that's really important. And they are a bit of a snowball offense. Like, I do believe that they can, like, 6-7 is not out of their range. They're not the 2015 team where the 6s and 7s happen in single innings, but they can have guys have days and then other dudes tack it on. They're pretty good at that, especially lately. I don't know, the playoffs are so chaotic, and the big thing is that the home runs, right? Home run has been a, and especially recently, like, because you pitching is so elevated, there's such good pitching in the playoffs, it's a lot harder to rely on stringing hits together. You sort of have to get more than a couple handfuls of solo home runs here and there. That didn't happen a ton for them this year, but they do have guys capable of it historically, and they're on the road. They're not hitting at fucking Rogers Center, where for some reason they couldn't hit all year long. I don't know. That was a lot there, but I'm feeling a lot, and you can tell I feel pretty confident having looked over all this stuff.
It's funny you're sort of talking about how they deserve a bit to have a bit of a run. And I don't disagree, but it's interesting for me in that of the teams the last 3 years, this is the team that by far I feel the least amount of connection to, and all that. We've gone over the reasons for that so many times. I'm not going to relitigate it here, but I'm kind of like, man, if they make a run, am I going to like really fondly remember this team of just boring white guys? Like, maybe. So we'll see.
The DRS boys? Defensively saving runs, baby? Just out there running it down, pitching their dicks off? I don't know. I can get behind it. I've come around pretty hard on my outfield boys. The Whit Merrifield train, I think.
You love the DRS boys.
I love the DRS boys. It opened my eyes. That was that Rays series win. I was like, man, they just don't make the mistakes that cost the Rays that series. They just don't make them. They don't make the outfield gaffe, and the catchers don't just stab at balls in the dirt. Like they keep the ball in front of them behind the plate, and they make plays in the outfield. It's like, I don't know, man. That's pretty good, and it's a sigh of relief when that sort of thing has been the only thing that stopped them in years past. Where it was the only thing that wasn't happening was those little things. And as much as that got made parody this year, the other stuff, the timely hitting, the postseason magic, is the same thing that everybody's dealing with. As I said, so I feel good. I've come around, and you gotta like Brandon Belt, right? You gotta like Brandon Belt.
You have to like Brandon Belt.
Who's a guy our age, has our age problems. Sometimes he feels sick for 4 days in a row. Sometimes his back hurts. He's funny, but not in a way that he's here's the thing, right? But
he's not Joe Biagini.
He's also not George Springer, right? He's like, he's not the guy who's trying to be 25. He's the guy who is funny to 25-year-olds, but not because he is saying like it's lit fam, right?
Right.
I like Brandon Belt. And I got to say, and I'll say this, and I was very hard on him, but I love a reclamation project, and I love, I'm a dad. So he's a dad kind of player. I've been a really big, happy to see it for a Kevin Biggio guy, to be frank, because, you know, we all know the story. He had the name. So he was put in with Guerrero and Bichette, even though he was a non-prospect. Broke through first, played very well, got people very high on him, but hit the absolute lows, right? Lost his position at two different positions, back-to-back years, and kept grinding and kept being a guy. There was parts of this year where he got picked off at second that one time as a pinch runner. And it was like, dude, you don't do anything for this team anymore. And now he's become a guy who makes a great play every week at a different position defensively and is having good at-bats. And turn the season around with a home run against these very same Minnesota Twins back on June 11th. So I've been really happy to see this sort of second half Kevin Biggio. Like, you got to have – Kevin Biggio has to play in one of these first two games, or I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, it's quite a world where – and I think illustrative of how just stupid this season was, where, like, if you were to ask me right now what my ideal lineup for tomorrow is, and I know this isn't going to be the lineup, so I'll get that out of the way. You'd probably have Biggio at third and Schneider at second. If we're being honest.
Yeah, well.
But I don't expect that. But I do think since August 1st, Matt, there's a lot of noise about how Matt Chapman's like the ninth worst qualified hitter in baseball.
Too true.
The 10th worst qualified hitter in baseball is Whit Merrifield. So give me Kevin Biggio, please.
Yeah, fair enough. And it was nice to see Schneider break out of a little bit at the end of the year. With some free candy there in that last series.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel good about the guys. I don't know what to tell you. I love the hound on the mound. I love Kevin Gausman. I don't know where they found Kevin Gausman. I don't know how they went and got a guy like Kevin Gausman that I just can just enjoy this much. Seems like a really great guy. Says the right things, does the right things. Seems like he gets stoned out of his mind when he's not pitching. couldn't enjoy him more. We'll do a bullpen trust index later on, but yeah, I like the team. I don't know what to tell you other than how unreasonably mad I get at Vlad and George. I like a lot of the other guys except for Merrifield, basically.
Yeah,
I do get really mad at Vlad and George. I don't know why.
I get less mad at George just because he had a pretty decent back quarter, but Vlad, absolutely.
There's something about every time Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes up to the plate, and it's not really his fault. It's the weight of expectation. Every time he comes up, you're like, all right, man, have a career-defining moment right now. Over and over and over again. It's only going to get worse in the playoffs. Every time he comes up with runners on, we're like, career-defining moment, please. Like, absolutely hit a tank right now. And he could.
And that's it, right? He could.
That's literally the entire thing is built out of that, Jake. That's the entire what we're about to go through.
Well, that's what I mean. We have no idea what we're going to see tomorrow. No idea.
Okay, let's pause for a minute. Let's take a look at the opponent, the Minnesota Twins, and see how that makes us feel after this. All right, Jake, as I said, I got my pen and paper out, and I looked at the Minnesota Twins. I hope you, I don't know, do you glance at a roster? Do you have a
I have some numbers up in front of me.
Beautiful. So, you know, some high ground stuff, as I said, 87 wins, one less games than Seattle. Some stuff that jumped out at me, no 25 home run guy, some injury things here and there, but like they sort of remind me of the Blue Jays, to be honest with you, is they have like top 10 defense. They have very good pitching at the top end. They've had some good relievers. And then I have five guys singled out as to watch for different reasons. Problems or like guys that there's problems. And then there's a couple that it's like the guy, this happens sometimes in baseball, especially people will, they'll do a great deep dive and point to all the reasons why some guy should be the dude that makes a difference. I've watched enough playoff baseball that you also have to pick a guy that there's no real logic to why he is the dude that changes the series. He just ends up being it. So I have five picks for that. I'll go through them quickly. I'll see if you have anybody that jumps out to you as well. Eduard Julian, he's been very good. Guy that has given real fits to Kevin Gausman. Max Kepler, who I think we coveted at some point this year.
We did. Yeah, he's one of our deadline picks.
Lefty, bat, hits for power.
It's for greedy.
Yes, he was also, when they didn't sign the fourth outfielder, that was the trade target, I think, because we thought they were doing.
Right.
Around Christmas time when I was fucking just deranged on, like, on trades after they got Varsho on, like, the 23rd. A guy named Matt Wallner played 76 games this year, 144 WRC+. When you go back and look at the games they played against the Jays and Twins, Wallner's all over them. And then the last one is the catching duo. They're sort of yin and yang. Ryan Jeffers is a big power guy. And the other guy is fucking Christian Vasquez. And Christian Vasquez is on this list because 65 WRC+, garbage OPS+, the kind of guy that hits the home run against the Blue Jays. And you're just like, how the fuck is Christian Vasquez on this team? You got to be fucking kidding me. That's the guys that jumped out to me. And then, of course, the guys to watch injury-wise is Correa, who tore them up this year as well, Royce Lewis, and I heard rumors of Brian Buxton rehabbing. So there's my guys offensively. Is there anybody I didn't say or anybody that jumped out to you from that list?
I mean, Buxton, according to a Athletic article by the Twins guy, sounds not likely to be around.
Yeah.
Kind of said if he is, he's playing hurt as a platoon guy. Which I know he hasn't had a great year, but I am always relieved to avoid Byron Buxton because he's very good. Sounds like Lewis and Correa will be at least on the roster. I don't know if they'll be playing tomorrow. Correa sounds more likely than Lewis. I mean, the one guy that I'm ironically and also not ironically expecting to be the guy that just like fucks us is Jordan Luplow.
Wow. Just
like a revenge pinch hitter and like the eight.
Off Mesa. Just,
yeah, exactly.
Or Henny. Probably takes the Henny deep. Yeah.
Willie Castro is a guy that I like a lot. Mm. I liked him before this season. I've liked him for a long time. I think he could be a guy to watch. He's one of those, you know, defense first, all contact guys.
Yeah. Good speed too.
Yeah. You know, obviously you have to watch out for your Correa at all times, because even a hurt Carlos, we've seen what he, it's one of those things like what I was talking with the Astros, right? Like we've seen him do it in the playoffs so many times that even a Carlos Correa at 75% in the playoffs, concerns me. And like Christian Vasquez, as you said, I'm not sure there's a bigger candidate for a guy to get a massive hit in a big spot than the guy on the team who cannot hit at all.
I'm sick just thinking about it. And it'd be like Hicks, or it'll be Henny. Yeah. The guy who throws like 102 and he'll just like inside out fist it the other way. And you're just like, I wish I was fucking dead.
Or he'll draw a walk to keep an inning going or something.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, the thing with the Twins are kind of an interesting team, and like, they're not that good, but they also have enough guys who are good that you're like, man, that could be really dangerous.
You win two games. That's not crazy.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, I feel like I'm really going to hate playing them the next couple days.
Whew.
Is what I'll say. I don't think I'm going to enjoy the Minnesota Twins.
Take a look at the pitching as well. Pablo Lopez, your game one starter, and they're going to go with Sonny Gray in game two. Lopez, 3.66 this year ERA, four and a half wins, 2.79 from Sonny, five wins. Very nice years from both of those guys.
I would be throwing Sonny Gray game one, but that's me.
I think you're doing the. You counter there. You don't go ace to ace, I think, is the play here. And then it looks like, I'm going to guess they're going to go Bailey Ober in game three if we get there. 3.43, 2.5 wins and 26 starts this year. So Pablo Lopez, they played May 27th, 5 2/3, 4 earned, 6 Ks, 2 home runs against. Kiermaier and Bichette hit home runs in that game. No, pardon me. Bichette, Biggio, and Dalton Varsho hit home runs in that game, but they lost. The Blue Jays lost that game 9-7. Remember this? It was a big Bassett blow-up game. Four hits.
It was one of the early
four innings.
Just the last PitchCom game.
I don't know what happened there.
Before he was like, "I'm not calling this shit myself anymore."
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was four innings, 9 hits, 7 runs. He was not sharp. They lose the game 9-7. Which is to say, they didn't struggle really against Pablo Lopez this year. He didn't fool them very much. Guy with a decent strikeout rate, but we'll see what that means. How does Pablo Lopez hit your ears in game one?
I mean, like, he's had a great year. It's hard to argue as him as one of your game one guys, even though I already did. He's 10th in BWAR for pitchers this year. He was an all-star. He seems to... I don't know what I was going to say there. Yeah, I mean, of my very limited knowledge of him from seeing him when we played him, we beat him up and they beat our guy up. It's definitely not, I will say, last year where it was like, fuck, it's Luis Castillo in game one.
That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah, like, Luis Castillo won game one last year.
Like, it's a guy I think we can hit. He's not, again, although on this fucking team, who knows, but he's not like the lights out stuff guy that this Jays team seems to really have a hard time getting a bat on. Like, he's got velocity, but he's not throwing, you know, 101, 102. He's got, I think, 4 pitches in his arsenal, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, as long as he doesn't throw that one slider that no one on this team can hit, I think.
And what are the odds? What are the odds?
Right.
He's not going to throw the one nobody can hit. Why would he bother?
I think I have certainly felt worse about game one pitching matchups, I think is what I can say with my admittedly limited knowledge of Pablo Lopez.
And Gausman on the other side, no complaints, I assume.
I mean, yeah, he's been a little erratic in the last month, but like, and against good teams, there is that knock on him for sure. But how can you go with anybody else after the year he had?
Well, how does this hit your ears? May 26th, Kevin Gausman, 5 1/3, 8 Ks, 5 walks in a 3-1 win. And then on June 11th, Kevin Gausman, 6 earned runs, 4 walks against Minnesota Twins in both those games, 9 walks in 2 games, and a bucket load of runs in game 2. I know game one, it was like they didn't swing at a lot of his breaking stuff, and he just managed to get them out with the strikeouts to not get damaged with that. The second time they saw him, they drew walks again and then did do the damage with the 6 earned runs. That is the one concern of, like, of all the teams that have had Gausman's number, the Twins sort of got him twice, right? And the first time they didn't damage him, but they sort of pieced the game plan together. And the second time, man, they followed through on it. What is your follow-up thought to how shaky, I guess you could say, Kevin Gausman was this year against the Twins?
It doesn't really bother me. I don't put a lot of stock into 2 games, one of which was 5 months ago and one was 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's instructive of like how he approaches some of their hitters. But, you know, Kevin Gausman is sort of, he's had 2 modes this year. He's either the best pitcher you've ever seen or he's walking 9 guys. And I think he's looked like the best pitcher you've ever seen more than he hasn't. And I am comfortable with him on the mound tomorrow. I don't really care kind of what he did against the Twins earlier this year, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Sure.
I think Gausman has shown that when he's for 2 years now, really, he's shown that when they need him to show up, he shows up. Lost in the nightmare that was the 8-1 comeback to Seattle last year is that he kicked their ass.
That's right.
The comeback didn't start till he was pulled. Literally the second he was pulled. But for like 6 1/3, I want to say, in that game, he was like, he was untouchable. Well, not untouchable. They scored a run, but you know what I mean? Like, he was great. He was excellent. And I think I'm happy to have him on the mound tomorrow. If we're talking pitching decisions, I would have gone Berríos in game 2, personally, over Bassett.
They do go Berríos. They are going Berríos.
Sorry. Game 2. Sorry. I would have gone Bassett game 2 and save Berríos for game 3.
So we'll get there.
Game 1.
It's Sonny Gray on the other side. 2.79 ERA.
I don't want any piece of Sonny Gray.
June 10th, Sonny Gray, 5 innings, 1 earned, 5.1, pardon me, in a 3-2 10-inning loss. The Blue Jays 1 for 13 with runners in scoring position, 12 at on base in this game. The Cooch absolutely screwed. That's the one Sonny Gray meeting this year. As I said, the Bassett one you chew up and throw away. That was a blow up. The Berríos start 28th of May, 5 2/3, another 5 walks, 4 hits. They win that game 3-0. So this is sort of the, in May, the Blue Jays pitched in defense their way out of these. You know, the bend but didn't break. And I think that is sort of going to be thing. What this tells me looking at all these starts is, like, you're obviously dealing with a very patient team in Minnesota. They're going to take their walks. They're going to draw sort of similar, I think, to the Jays, is your sort of teams are going to call the bluff that they can't get it done when they actually have to put the hits together, and they'll throw them stuff that try to get them to chase and chase those strikeouts. I think it's advantage Jays here because I like going to the bullpen. I like it a lot more for the Jays than I do for Minnesota. I think if you're going to have both guys sort of cancel each other out here, and then both lineups maybe like be pretty good, but as you said, get us into 6-7 innings, and you're deciding, like, do you pull your number one guy in the 6th inning or the 7th inning because he runs into a little bit of trouble? I like who the Jays can go to more than, say, Emilio Pagan.
I can't believe Emilio Pagan is still pitching.
It's crazy. So there you go. Yeah, Gray.
He had a great year, to be fair.
Like, and Barrios, yeah, it would be pretty, it's, you talk about storylines of drama. Jose Barrios, the chance to salvage or put away the series in game two. Barrios over Bassett. It's regular rotation. That's how it was all year long. He was a bit of a stopper for them this year. I mean, Jose Barrios was their second best pitcher. I would say probably most
that's,
of the year.
That's why I would have saved him for three.
FIP under four, ERA 3.65, cut down in the walks, three wins per Fangraphs. Yeah. I like the either way, he's getting it in a huge spot. And I guess that gives you Bassett hypothetically for a game one in the ALDS in good situation, game three of the wild card in a bad situation, and starting game one of the 2024 season. Maybe you don't see him, but yeah. Jose Barrios, your thoughts?
I mean, my reasoning for wanting him in game three is because he's been great this year. I think Chris Bassett has had his moments of looking outstanding. He certainly put in a shift the other night when they really needed him to.
Whew, did he ever?
But we've seen a few times that he just, like, whether it's pitch calm or he just doesn't have it, he's had a couple of volatile games this year where you're just like, man, get him out of there. And I feel like Barrios has just been really solid this year. And, like, credit to him for salvaging his career, basically. Like, he, a lot of talk about the Kikuchi turnaround, rightly so. But, like, Barrios deserves every bit as much of that praise and more because he was better. And he was worse than Kikuchi last year. Like, Jose Barrios was borderline unpitchable last year.
Yeah.
When we were talking this time last year, the rotation discussion was, God, do we throw Ross Stripling in a game three elimination game because we didn't trust Jose Barrios? So this is better. But yeah, I would have saved Barrios either for the deciding game or potentially a game one in the ALDS. But, you know, the luxury about having the best pitching in baseball is that there's really not a bad choice of the three of them, I think, of whatever order you're throwing them in. So I'm not too bothered by it. But yeah, I think the narrative would just, regardless of outcome of the series, I hope Barrios is lights out for that game. Whether that, like, obviously I hope the Jays move on, but, like, I hope that after the year he had last year and all the discussions about the extension, going back to Minnesota in the playoffs and shutting them down would just be wonderful.
Jake, I can only correct you on one thing there. Least amount of runs allowed in the American League is actually no longer the Blue Jays.
Really?
The Minnesota Twins, best pitching in the American League.
Well, that sucks.
The Minnesota Twins. listen, you said it. I mean, geez, it's one of those things. It's so foolish. There's so few.
Lowest team ERA then.
Pitchers teams that exist. That you can be definitely sure what they're going to do in a playoff game. It's just like, it's pandemonium. And as you said, sort of the difference here in these spots is if you have a blow up game, you know, Bassett doesn't go four and grind it out anymore. It's like you get pulled at the first sign of trouble. You get Kikuchi will come in at the first sign of anything. That's sort of your big difference here is these guys don't wear it and they don't battle through it. Like, and it's going to come down to decision making, which is sort of, I think, I have two pieces of the concern index, Jake. I'm going to throw two pieces of concern index at you.
Sure.
Number one concern index is the current state of the ninth inning of the Blue Jays bullpen.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Red, yellow, green. Where are you here?
Yellow, I think. I don't know if Romano's fingernail is still bothering him, but he certainly doesn't look lights out to himself to the point where I am almost on let's have Jordan Hicks close out games. Swanson sort of seems like a who knows. Meza is, I'm never going to trust him. I don't care how good he was this year. I'm never going to trust him. Hicks, weirdly, I trust a lot, even though he hasn't really shown us any reason for me to trust him so much. I feel like I'm forgetting a big one.
Chad Green.
Yes. I've enjoyed Chad Green other than his first appearance. Yeah, I would say I'm pretty strongly in the yellow for sort of the back of it. I don't even want to see Trevor Richards on the playoff roster at this point. I would take maybe a Bowden Francis over him at this point. I don't expect that, but you know, that's what I would. Swanson, I'm fine with. He's been good enough. Jimmy Garcia, I don't want to see after, like, I guess him and Richards are kind of same idea. I don't want to see them after the sixth.
I'd take Jimmy right now over Trevor for sure.
I would too. But yeah, I mean, like, Romano was so good all year until the last couple weeks. And if we want to blame that on the fingernail, I think that's fair. But yeah, I feel like Chad Green, Jordan Hicks, and Genesis Cabrera, I feel like, are the most confidence I have right now of all the guys.
I probably wouldn't have Green. I'm just not quite there with the Chad Green experience quite yet. I see why you would be, though. Colorado notwithstanding. The Romano thing a little shaky, but I think I'm Green. I think in general, when you stack it up against the other teams and the other options, I think that you can win a lot of matchups here. And
yes, I would agree with that. I'm certainly not in the red. That's for sure.
Okay. My other concern index question for you is the dugout decision-making, the manager, the bench coach.
Here we are.
Because, you know, as I mentioned, the pitchers don't get the leashes, and the hope here is this doesn't become a decision series. It just becomes the talented players are the most talented players and they win because they're better. But we know that decisions do happen, and you mentioned Gausman's timing of this pull last year seemed to be a first domino that ended up bringing down the entire tower. What are your thoughts on the decisions coming from the Blue Jays bullpen, the timeliness, the pinch hitting, the basically the managing of the bullpen?
You sent me a text, I want to say about a month ago, that basically said, do you think John Schneider is going to cost us a playoff game? And he has done absolutely nothing in the last month to make me think the answer could be anything other than yes. I don't think that there is such thing as a good baseball manager, but there are certainly bad baseball managers. And John Schneider has not given me a lot of confidence that he is not a bad baseball manager.
Rough.
There's been so many odd decisions and like little things that day to day don't really matter, but in the playoffs absolutely do. His notion of not pinch running unless it's the tying run, which bit them a few weeks ago. His bullpen management is really strange. Not only his pinch hitting decisions in terms of personnel, but his pinch hitting decisions in terms of timing, I find really odd. We've seen a lot of Santiago Espinal pinch hitting in like the seventh inning this year. I don't know if there's like some data that's being fed to him about defensive matchups that we're not privy to that's behind some of his decisions. But oddly enough, the thing that matters the least on the team being the manager, if you were to stack all the things you can be worried about going to the playoffs, he'd be number one on the list for me.
So there you go. That's almost praise right there. That's damning with faint praise, right?
It
matters the least.
It does. Yes.
So it's the one that you would be, the theory follows, it's the one that you would be allowed to be most worried about because by that same logic,
it's a nightmare.
And it's constant. Other guys have their turns at bat. John Schneider is there for every pitch. I'm a yellow on this because I'm with you. I think your ultimate point is I sort of lean neutral towards the impact in the first place. There has been some head shakers of who is going out to face who and when, in the matchups department, and the timings of some of the pullings, and took a lot of guys out, at weird times. And it has really seemed to be that the bigger the game, the worse he is managing it. That's the real one. That yeah. is like, he's been fine for like 5 months at a time. And then they play four important games, and three of the games, there's some really weird thing that happens that you're like, man, that seems obvious. And they can't really explain it afterwards. And you're like, what in the world? I hope that doesn't continue, but and again, maybe this is one of those things where like you only notice those ones because they are big games and the rest of the stuff is like process. But it's a yellow for me for sure.
Yeah, there's nothing good coming out of there. That's for sure.
Not great. Okay. We will do a quick, I think we'll put the mailbag on the Patreon here quickly, and then we'll come back and we'll do our final predictions. Jake, I think good episode. I think we were snapping around. I think we played well.
We're great. We're so good at this. They should pay us more for it, frankly. And by they, I mean it's not you guys, like somebody else.
I mean, speaking of paying, though.
I was wondering if you're going to get through without mentioning this.
Patreon.com/lessthanjays will be doing immediate react pods immediately after these playoff. Well, immediately after these playoff games.
This is what you're doing the right thing. That's not where I thought we were going, but yeah, okay.
Doing react pods after the wild card games, and then hopefully you and I are talking Thursday or Friday about a series win. But at the end of the series, we will talk to you again and hopefully be previewing a Houston series and not doing a post-mortem. That'll be back on the main feed, but the game-by-game reviews on patreon.com/lessthanjays. Check it out. Jake, time has come. We're at the end of the episode. We are not prognosticators, but we've talked a lot about what it could be and what might happen. And we looked at who we're scared of on the Twins, and we looked at what we've learned about the Blue Jays, and we looked at the year, and we answered some questions. What is your prediction? We'll start with just this wild card series.
Man, I truly, I do not know, but that's no fun. So this is the most unsure I've been about a Jays prediction maybe ever in the history of us doing podcasts together. I'm going to say, because my body can't take saying the opposite, I'm going to say Jays in three.
Yeah. Do they lose game one or game two?
Two. There's no way this team is going to move on with the sweep. It's just no chance. It's not going to be easy. Nothing's going to be easy this playoff run. It might be a great playoff run, but it's going to be a fucking nightmare the whole time.
So I feel like I also feel Jays in three, which I think is sort of almost a cop-out answer of both of us. We're like, we want to pick the Blue Jays to win and do it in the least confident way possible is what we're saying, right?
That is, yeah, 100% correct.
So I see the Jays losing game one. I see Kevin Gausman, whether he's tipping or whether they just know what's coming. He's our, like, this can't possibly go wrong guy this year. I see them getting the monkey off their back of the never having won a playoff game since 2005, I think it is. I see all this unfolding in game one and the Blue Jays side of it being like, oh my God, this team did it again. They're 1-for-10 with runner in scoring position, and they just their at bats look like shit, and they once they get down it's over, they can't score. I think this is a team that is going to put itself in a corner again, as they always do, and then I think they rattle off too. I think you have a heartbreaker Barrios game, and then I think the Hound on the mound
I think, just for to make this prediction section more interesting, I'm gonna disagree with you there. I think if they lose that game one, they're done.
Wow.
I do not think, put on my old man calling into the radio glasses for a second. I don't think this team has the mental fortitude
or
the leadership from up top to come back from 0-1 in a wild card series.
0-1 down. It's over. I love that.
I think they need a series win to get where they need to be. But I think if they come out flat tomorrow and Gausman doesn't get them there, I think they're done.
It'll be bad scenes if Gausman's bad tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
it'd be really bad. It'd be worse than the Manoa, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you had Gausman last year.
And we thought and going into game two, we were all pretty confident last year. This team has not given us a reason to be confident going down 0-1 in a playoff series.
They did score 8 runs in game two. You know?
Yeah, and then they fucking blew it.
People forget. Okay. And then so it sounds like we both feel confident in Hound on the Mound game three. No problem.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. We both picked Jason.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Hound on the Mound. True. It's funny. Your logic there is that they couldn't bounce back from game one, but they will certainly win a game three on the road.
That makes more sense to me with this team.
It does. I agree with you. I don't even disagree is the hilarity of it. Okay, that's your now we're on the we have our toes on the precipice of the playoff schedule ahead of it all. We know Houston lies on the other side. My follow-up question for you, prediction wise, is what is your overall postseason prediction here?
Do you want my real one or do you want the Jays who won the World Series one?
I want the one that you believe.
The one that I believe is that they lose to Houston.
In six, seven, five?
Four or five. I think it's a good series.
Is it best of five?
In my heart of hearts, I think they lose to Houston.
Tough.
I want to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong because I have tickets to games three and four. But I don't know. I know the West the West is kind of a dumpster fire this year. But if we're sticking on the subject of playoffs are coming down to leadership and management and mental fortitude, I just can't see them beating Houston.
Oh, Christ. Why do they play a best of five in the division?
That's I don't know.
Stupid.
If you're going to make the first round best of three, you have to make the second round a best of seven. It's so dumb.
I'm already mad about it.
The real nightmare scenario is them losing to Texas. In the ALC.
Oh boy. Listen, that's valiant. That's a valiant losing to Houston in five.
Nothing wrong with that. It'll be infuriating. I'll be so mad, but there's nothing wrong with it.
It's a low key. I feel like people would have good feelings about the year.
Yeah. You lose in five to the team that wins every year. It's all right.
So I think, Jake, and I realize that I have to think this way, in a way. I think they are going to make the World Series at minimum.
Okay.
Once there, I don't know, but I think they are going to make the World Series. And I'll tell you why. I believe in real playoff metal being formed from going through the path that the Blue Jays have gone through in their last two playoff runs.
Okay.
You have to taste what it felt like to be one game short like they did in 2021. You have to taste that and go, man, that we got out on top of our skis a little bit in 2020 with that fake season where they went 32-28 and they were third, and then, you know, they played the two games. It was like, I didn't really count, but they were just happy there was baseball on. And then 2021, you sort of saw them believe in themselves over the course of the year and be like, last year wasn't a fluke. We're actually even better than this. And we made some great trades, and Robbie Ray is actually great. And Semien was an unbelievable signing. We are actually a very good team, a better team than they were this year. No question. And then last year was sort of that, like, hey, we are legit. And we have all the pieces and we've really loaded up and we've added again. And we added Matt Chapman and we've addressed all these things we're going to steamroll. We have 92 wins and we're going to dominate the wild card with this great offense. We have these great pitchers. and the rug gets pulled out from underneath them, and they're humbled this time again. I think this year you have that path of, like, you saw what it took to make the playoffs. You saw what it took to make that extra push, and you saw what it took to, once you're there, stay in it, right? We made a big deal about it on this show. The curtain call up 8. You gotta stay in it. You gotta stay in these games. There's no waving around. The game is over in the 7th inning. You gotta stay 100% locked in here. And I think it's a hard lesson learned, but I think it's important to travel that path. And I think, as you said, they need a series win to get them where they need to be. And I think if they can beat Minnesota, as small a victory as that may seem, I think they will believe that they can beat Houston. And eventually Houston has to, eventually, right? At some point they have to crack in the armor.
Hey,
so I have them going to the World Series.
I hope you're right, is what I will say. I truly do. I know I have given this squad a lot of guff this year. I don't take back a single word of it, as we sort of touched on in the mailbag. Making the playoffs does not mean the season wasn't a nightmare. But I hope you're right. I would love nothing more than a legitimate, deep playoff run by this team, because they're not going to get that many more chances. And I'd love it. I need them to prove it to me, I think. But yeah, I hope that the next time we talk proper on Thursday or Friday, I hope we're previewing the Houston Astros and not talking about how terrible those two games were.
Series starts Tuesday, 4:30 Eastern time. I think I'll be taking in the first two innings of this one in my favorite place. That's right, the 401 westbound. ooh, baby. Look at my chops. Wednesday as well, as we said. Lopez, Gausman, Gray, and Berríos. I hope we are not back on, Jesus, Wednesday night. I hope we're back. You know, if they win Wednesday night, then we can chill. We can take a day, record it on Thursday, relax.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice? Anyway, we'll know by the weekend.
Anything easy happening with this fucking team.
We'll know by the weekend. We'll talk to you again later this week. As always, thank you so much for being a part of the show. We hope this isn't the last. There are still games going on. I guess that. Playoff postseason baseball starts today. When you listen to this, it is Blue Jays against the Twins. Let's go, Blue Jays. We will see you again very, very soon. Until then, thank you so much for being a part. God bless you.